I already said it's about Acts, and we're up to after Israel had fallen in Acts 7, and after Paul had been saved in Acts 9, and we went through, I guess, three lessons on what happened there in Antioch of Syria, that they ended up being a body of Christ church that sent out Paul. When they started out as a church of God, Jewish church, a refugee church, refugees from the church of God in Jerusalem with Peter, James, John there. We talked yesterday about the Acts 13 sermon, the first recorded sermon of Paul, and it's a very complete sermon. You can hear about the history of Israel, their failures, their rejection of their Messiah, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the gospel of God, and yet up to that point there's no salvation yet. Then he talks about in verses 38 and 39, by this man all who believe. I don't have it in front of me. Let me get the exact reading here. That's Acts 13, 38, there it is, and 39. Having gone through all this about this man, Jesus Christ, and his death, that he died, it doesn't say that he died for sins or for your sins or anything, in verses 28, 29, and 30, where it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection. And then he talks about Jesus being the Son of God, the Holy One, the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead. Now down here, just talking about this man still, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren. Brethren would be the Jews in the synagogue there. The men would be the Gentiles that came to the synagogue because they wanted to be part of God's plan for mankind, knowing that God was working through Israel up until Israel fell, at least. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. They hadn't had it before. They had remission until Christ came and dealt with those sins, took theirs and our sins on himself, and the death sentence for it. And he died on the cross for my sins and for yours. And it says, verse 39, all by him, not by you or me, but by him, all that believe are justified from all things. So he's given a whole lot, a lot of background there that to believe, starting in verse about 15, 16, and going through here in 39, and he's not quite done yet either. But be it known unto you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness, not the remission, but the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. And he lists some of them, from things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And Saul of Tarsus had been saved by the gospel of Christ. That's the only message by which people could be saved after the fall of Israel. And when you go back and you read Acts 4:12, neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, talking about Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, the fact that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead, which Israel apostate Israel rejected. But that was in Acts 4. Israel fell in Acts 7. So it didn't help that that this verse had expired. I mean, it Israel was not a way to God anymore. So that verse will be true again after the church is caught up to be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we have Paul's revelation, Christ's revelation to Paul. So Saul of Tarsus had been saved by the gospel of Christ, but Christ hadn't revealed it to him yet. Let's look in... I didn't put those up there. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16. And it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let me get 16. I thought I put it up there. I don't see it. There we go. Howbeit, for this cause, what cause? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said he was chief, for that cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Believe on him to life everlasting. So that's our salvation today. At the time Saul of Tarsus was saved, he was the chief or the head of sinners. Not the worst sinner necessarily, but he was the chief there. It means the same thing as it means down in the next verse there. First, that in me first. That word first is the same word as chief up there. It's the head of the line. First one in that way. Saul of Tarsus was not somehow changed for the better on the road to Damascus when Jesus stood in front of him, and then later on saved as a changed man. No. Saul of Tarsus was saved as the chief of sinners. Christ brought Paul into the body of Christ as the first person saved as a sinner. And when Saul of Tarsus first believed, he had not yet been sent to preach the gospel of Christ. So that, there wasn't anybody else to preach it. Although God worked with Paul in stages, you can see that in Romans 1, verse 1, it says that he was separated to the gospel of God. Well, what was he separated from when he was separated to the gospel of God? It says, I think it's in Galatians, it says he was separated from Judaism, from his mother of religion, the mother of us all, he says. And when he was separated from Judaism, he was separated to the gospel of God. They're opposed, in other words. Judaism was apostate at that point. They were against the Messiah that the Heavenly Father had sent. So Jesus, Paul sent, or separated, actually, is the word used, separated Paul unto the gospel of God, and he was to minister Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. The gospel of God was the means of doing that. He was made Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, starting with being sent to those Jews and those Gentiles that had already been seeking God, the God of Abraham. They were there in the synagogues. They're called Greeks. God saved those believing Jews and Greeks into the body of Christ as the remnant according to the election of, or choice of, grace. And that was keeping his Genesis 12, verse 3 promise to bless those who blessed Israel, which is what was going on at that time. They that was ever since Genesis 12 until Israel fell in Acts 7. Now, when Israel fell, God still worked with individual Jews during a diminishing period. Romans 11 verse 12 says they had a diminishing, and that they continued to be less and less likely to believe Paul's message, and got less and less special treatment until you get to Acts 28, and they're just like you and me then. The Jews have to come to God admitting that they are a sinner, just like Paul was saved as a sinner instead of as a lawkeeper. God, how did he bless those Gentiles and the Jews that were coming, especially the Greeks that came to God in the synagogue? Genesis 12:3 says, "I will bless them that bless thee." Well, he blessed them by sending to them Paul as a preacher to preach the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace, Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Years later, Christ sent Paul to all the Gentiles. But God worked all that with Paul, worked it in stages, little at a time, changing it. It wasn't a, you know, as Jim used to say, it wasn't one big download. So, Saul of Tarsus was separated from his mother religion to the gospel of God, and you can see that in Galatians. We mentioned it before, but Galatians 4:26. "But Jerusalem, which is..." Let me get it right. "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all us Jews." In other words, he's talking to Jews, the Jews from the synagogues in Galatia, where he had preached, and they left the synagogues, believing that Jesus was the Messiah. So it says that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And then in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So that's what he was separated from and separated to. Romans 15:16 tells us some of the effect of that gospel of God and his ministering it. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Ministering the gospel of God. Why? "So that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." They were set apart by believing that Jesus, the gospel of God is the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And they're made acceptable. They're ready to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. The gospel of God is not salvation. You can hear from what it says. It's a description of Jesus. It's a announcement of his characteristics, attributes, that he is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, the one anointed one to rule the world through from Israel, from the land, actually. The Gentiles can come to God, but not through Israel. That that former way, Genesis 12:3, "I will bless them that bless thee." The former way of Gentiles coming to God by blessing Israel or Israelites, finding a Jew to bless, that didn't work anymore. Now, the way to come to God and be ready to hear and believe the gospel of salvation is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. Well, as soon as he was saved, Let's look at Acts 9:20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So that's the definition of the gospel of God in Romans 1:1 through 4. Well, let's read those verses. You can see how closely that's what Paul was preaching about Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God. Well, first of all, that he's the Christ, the Son of God. Christ is Messiah. It's the Greek for the Hebrew Messiah. Romans 1, 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he, God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And here it is, the gospel of God, concerning his Son, the sonship there of Jesus Christ, Christ being the word for Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. There it is again, the sonship of Jesus, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So it's basically those three elements: the sonship, the messiahship, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel of God. That's God's identification of who Jesus is. The gospel of God is the identity of Jesus. That's what the name of Jesus refers to. The name of Jesus is described by the gospel of God. That's why none other name given among men, under heaven given among men, that's why they had to believe the name of Jesus. They had to believe that he was the Messiah that God sent instead of a fraud. They rejected him, though. Acts 9:21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? No doubt they were, you know, geared up to do the same thing that they had done with Stephen. But there you can see the use of the term this name. This name. Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Refers to the name of Jesus, that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Even before Paul was saved, there were Jews that believed the gospel of God about Jesus, and there were Jews that did not believe the gospel of God about Jesus. There was a split. The apostate synagogue rulers were apostates. They didn't believe that Jesus was God. And Peter, James, John, Lazarus, Mary, the 120, and then the thousands which believed on Pentecost, they did believe that they believed the gospel of God. Acts 9:21 again. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So he went on proving not only that Jesus, you know, the name of Jesus, that Jesus, where is it back there? Verse 20, that he is the Son of God, but he goes on to prove that he is the Christ, the Messiah. So that's the gospel of God again. Acts 9:23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, to kill Paul. And verse 24, but their laying await was known of Paul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. here's one of the deliverances of Paul, that Christ said in Acts 26:17, who he was sending him to were the ones that he would have to deliver him from. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Let's go to Galatians 1, verse 11, and we'll read down a few verses here and try to gain some insight in here. Paul's gospel from Jesus Christ, being the gospel of Christ, Saul had been persecuting the church of God. What's called the church of God existed before Paul was saved. It's not the body of Christ. It's the church which was at Jerusalem and then scattered to form little churches of God around in Judea there especially, including Antioch of Syria. But Saul destroyed Israel's faith in their Messiah. Not all of it, but he went around doing, that's what he was trying to do. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12, Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it of man. Was Peter a man? James a man? Jude? Yeah. He says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who revealed it to him? Jesus Christ did. He was already in heaven, but he revealed it to Paul. That's the revelation of the mystery, the telling of the secret. So let's go to verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, and we already saw that's a reference to Galatians 4:26, that the Jerusalem and the religion that he was in was his spiritual mother or religious mother. That's what he was separated from. Called me by his grace. Galatians 4:26 says, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all us Jews. Not you and me. We're not Jews. We didn't descend from Jerusalem or from the Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or the 12 tribes. We didn't descend. Even if we did, Jesus in Matthew 12:31 and 32 describes what Israel's unforgivable sin will be, and it happened in Acts 7. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the words speaking right from the mouth of Stephen. They stoned him as he was speaking. But when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, this is Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me, and I think that's a reference to the beginning of the church, the body of Christ there, the revelation of Jesus Christ on earth. That I might, it doesn't come right out and say it. That's an opinion there. So let's believe the word of God, but, doubt what I say, unless I've got a verse to back it up. Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. But not yet among the heathen. Other scripture shows that's in the future. That's part of his life that's going to be coming. Just like Acts 9:15 foretold three things that he's going to do in his lifetime. He's going to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Well, he started with the children of Israel, didn't get the kings until about Acts 25 or 26. And then, you know, they're not in order. It's not ascending in Acts 9:15, nor here. He says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Doesn't say how long he was there, but it says, I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Now, he didn't. This isn't where he left in a hurry, because Christ had revealed it to him in the temple vision. This isn't that spot, because it says, I and abode with him 15 days. He didn't leave immediately. Abode with him 15 days is not making haste to get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So that Acts 9 visit of Paul to Jerusalem can't fit Paul's Acts 22 verse 18 description of his temple vision. Check it out. Go back and look at those verses. Galatians 1:19, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother, actually his half-brother, inspired of God. Paul identifies James, the Lord's half-brother, as an apostle, but not necessarily one of Israel's 12 apostles, but as an apostle in that in Israel, one sent out for a purpose, okay? A sent out one. An apostle. Galatians 1 verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Verse 21. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Verse 23, but they only heard, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. What faith is that? What did he once destroy? He was after those that believed the gospel of God. Now he believes the gospel of God. That doesn't make him a Jew. Jews had to believe it to believe that Jesus was their Messiah and to receive him as their king, you know, in the kingdom on earth there. Those in coming into the body of Christ need to believe. Let me go back and read that verse there. But they only heard, they had heard only that he was he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. So now, you heard him in Acts 9 verse 20 say that he is the Son of God. In 9 verse 22 say that he is very Christ. He's preaching the gospel of God. Preacheth the very faith which once he destroyed. That doesn't mean he's preaching Judaism. Doesn't say that, and it doesn't mean it. We've studied what the gospel of God is. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard my past conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. The verse we started out with, 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. We're going to look at it in a minute here, but Saul of Tarsus's salvation was new. It, you know, Saul of Tarsus's salvation was a pattern. Saul of Tarsus's salvation was in him first as the chief, or first. Paul was the first to be saved that way, the first person ever. 1 Timothy 1:15-16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Remember, that's the same word as first. I'm chief. It's chief in that sense. It's not it's not translated wrong. It's correct. It's just so we understand it as being the head or the chieftain, the first in line. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So you've got him as the chief or the head of the line. You've got him, it's in him first that Christ shows forth all long suffering. Then there's a pattern set up in the way that Paul was saved to them who come after that, to them which should hereafter, that's us, believe on him to life everlasting. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God, and we started with that. We read the four verses there, especially verses 3 and 4 pointed out, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That seed of David, David was the royal line from which the Messiah was to come, the Christ. So he's the very Son of God, resurrected from the dead. And that's the gospel of God of which Paul, Christ made Paul a minister. Christ, it wasn't just Paul took over and started preaching it. Christ made him a minister in that. Romans 15:16, that I, Paul, should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We see some of Israel's trouble and what it was that they failed at. This is actually this very thing, the gospel of God. But let's look at it in Romans 9. We'll start in verse 31. There's more ahead of that, but before that. But let's look at this at least. The gospel of God is a word. It's the word of faith, which, in other words, believing it, who he is, believing the name, his identity. The word of faith that apostate Israel denied, not submitting to the facts of who Jesus was, that Paul preached as the gospel of God. So go to verse 31, Romans 9:31 and following. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they weren't unreligious at all. You know, they were doing what they thought in their mind, their prideful mind, would put them in good stead with God. Which Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. There's that the faith coming in, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So it's talking about someone to be believed, to believe on him. It's talking about a rock, and that's, of course, Jesus Christ. And they failed to believe who he was. Going on to the next verse, Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's that condition there. To everyone that believeth, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, the man which doeth those things shall live by them. How many people have done all the law all the time to gain life? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And let me just skip that parenthesis there in the description. The word the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, down to verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul preached it. It's the gospel of God, the facts of who Jesus is. That was important for them to believe. We can't believe that, even today, you can't believe that Jesus is just some other guy, and they killed him, and he claimed to die for your sins. You must believe that he had the power to forgive your sins, to die for your sins, that he was sinless himself. That's all part of the name of Jesus, the name, believing on the name, or believing that Jesus is the risen Messiah. So let me read it through without dropping out those few verses there. The righteousness, this is going through 6, 7, and 8, verses 6, 7, and 8 of Romans 10. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He already came down and he already rose again. That's my parenthesis. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Do you get those two connection there? You remember where else he talks about in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. So Israel had been playing Where's Waldo, searching high and low, from heaven to the deep, for where is their Messiah and his righteousness, which is of faith, that speaketh on this wise. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. There it is. Don't miss it. It's the word of faith which we preach, Paul said. The only word of faith that both Paul and the Kingdom Church preached was the gospel of God. And you can see that in, if you want to, you know, verify it for yourself, write these down, look them up. Acts 2, verses 22 through 36, Peter preached the gospel of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter preached the gospel of God. In Acts 13, verses 32 to 35, Paul preached the gospel of, did I say Christ? The gospel of God. Peter preached the gospel of God, and Paul preached it here in Acts 13, 32 to 35. Romans 1, 1 through 4, Paul proclaims and identifies the gospel of God. It's the identity of Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord. And you can see reference to that. There, I've got a whole list here in probably 15 different places where it's referred to in that way. Peter even wrote it earlier, back before the crucifixion. Well, maybe it wasn't before the crucifixion, but before a lot that you read in Paul's later epistles. He wrote it that Israel lacked the required faith that they were to have, they were to have believed. Look what Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. So they didn't believe the word of God. They were told in Deuteronomy, that in Deuteronomy 18, that the Lord would send a prophet like unto Moses, that they would believe. They didn't believe him the first time. The majority didn't. The leadership didn't. There was a little flock that did. But when he comes again, they will believe. Zechariah 12:10. Apostate Israel did not believe that Jesus was their Messiah, risen from the dead. They stumbled at the word.